Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. That's right. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. Happy Wednesday, September 13th, 2017. We've got another fun-filled hour of sports talk heading right your way. So what are we talking about, you ask? Well, I'll be glad to tell you. On today's current sports, we will dive into more college football dialogue concerning the Michigan State football team, as well as the University of Michigan. MSU, of course, with the week off, a bye week, and then they will get back at it welcoming Notre Dame to Spartan Stadium on September 23rd. You know what? But we're going to expand it, from the Spartans and Wolverines. We're really going to look at the Big Ten Conference as a whole. So you don't want to miss that. Also, the Cleveland Indians making baseball history last night in Ohio against the Detroit Tigers, making it 20 wins in a row, looking for number 2-1. Actually, right now, as we speak, the Indians seeking an AL record 21st straight victory. Right now, it looks like they are headed to a dub. It's still very, very early, though. Bottom of the second, the Indians leading the Detroit Tigers 3-1. We'll keep you updated, and we'll have dialogue on that little piece of history coming from Major League Baseball. We'll also talk about the Detroit Lions as they have made an acquisition in lieu of, a certain special teams player getting injured. You don't want to miss that. And we will even talk a little UFC. John Bones Jones. Some unfortunate news concerning his career, as if we haven't seen this story before, right? We'll talk a little UFC in the future of John Bones Jones with actually our very own Casey Harrison, current sports production assistant and reporter who we introduced to you all earlier this week on Monday. And we will introduce you to another current sports production assistant and reporter who will be helping out in the coming months, providing content for you all. You don't want to miss it. That and so much more. We, of course, will take your calls as we customarily do. 517-355-WKAR is the number to call. 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/current sports, where you can catch the current sports live stream of the show. You can also leave us a comment there, and I will read it live here on the airwaves. And even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we begin with college football. Michigan State college football news. The Michigan State Spartans will open the 2020 and 2021 Big Ten seasons against Northwestern. Also, the Spartans will kick off conference play against the Wildcats. Well, I should say, in elaborating on that point, the Spartans will open conference play against the Wildcats on September 5th and will also host Michigan on October 10th, followed by Ohio State the next week, along with Minnesota and Rutgers. Now, Michigan State will travel out to play Iowa, Indiana, Penn State, and Maryland on the road. Now, after kicking off the season against the Wildcats, again on September 4th, Michigan State will take the road to play U of M on October 16th of 2021 and the Ohio State Buckeyes on October 30th, followed by Purdue and Rutgers. Nebraska, Penn State, Indiana, and Maryland will all take trips to Spartan Stadium. More on the future schedules for Michigan State football in just a moment. University of Michigan college football fans will get the chance to follow Jim Harbaugh up close and personal with a new reality TV series. You guys know I love reality TV. Isaac hates on me for it. I mean, I love Love and Hip Hop. Yeah, I watch it. So
we know.
Black Ink Crew. Yeah, I watch it. So
we know.
So U of M, though, the college football team, the Wolverines, Amazon announced on Tuesday, today, that they will be airing, well, I should say on Tuesday, I'm getting my days mixed up, on Tuesday, that they will be airing an unscripted series following the Wolverines 2017 football season to their Amazon Prime video streaming service. How cool is this? Now, the project has yet to be named, but will get production help from BTN Originals. Now, the series will follow Harbaugh, assistant coaches, student athletes, giving fans an inside look at the games, practices, and life in Ann Arbor. This is very cool stuff. The series is set to be released in January. Reports say the show appears to follow a similar concept of HBO's hit show, Hard Knocks. Also, I saw this. Did you catch this, Isaac? Marshawn Lynch is also getting his very own reality show.
And they're paying millions for it, right?
They are paying millions for it. And you know what? I think this may be a hit. Call me crazy. I think this has potential. I'll just put it that way.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. Marshawn's already been making storylines in his 1 week back, right, officially with an NFL team.
Yeah,
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, he did. It was a good debut for him with the Oakland Raiders. All right. For the first time since 1968, the Michigan State men's soccer team started the season with four consecutive shutouts and now have a chance to start the year 6-0. Shout out to Damon Rensing as the number 6 Spartans welcome Bowling Green tonight at 7 p.m. Rensing is still looking to junior forward Ryan Sierakowski to score his first goal. Though 5 different Spartans, including this week's Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week, the local kid from East Lansing High School, DeJuan Jones, have each scored goals throughout the season as well. The Spartans topped the Falcons in their lone meeting last season 1-0 at DeMartin Stadium. This will be the first meeting between the two teams under the new lights at DeMartin. You can catch that one again tonight at 7 p.m. We will actually have highlights from that game later on at facebook.com/currentsports. All right, according to Sports Illustrated, former Spartan Gary Harris was ranked the number 57th player in the NBA. Harris came in at number 90 in ESPN's top 100 list after being 177th in last year's preseason poll. Last season, Harris averaged 14.9 points, 3.1 rebounds, 2.9 assists, and 1.2 steals a game for the Denver Nuggets. He also made over 40% of his shots from three-point land, good enough for 8th best in the league. How about the improvement of Gary Harris, huh? ESPN ranked Carmelo Anthony number 64. Talk about disrespect. That's one spot behind Lonzo Ball, who Isaac has yet to play an NBA game. How does that happen? That's some shade, man.
Come you know on. What this was? A news story. It was designed to make headlines because they didn't just choose to put him ahead of anybody. They chose to put him exactly one spot ahead of Melo. That's calculated. Yeah.
There are so many haters when it comes to Carmelo Anthony.
And but I'm
justifiably
one.
So.
Just one.
I know you are, Carmelo. I know you are. But, you know, you talk about him not winning a championship and then the infidelity rumors concerning him and his wife, Lala Anthony. ESPN now ranking him number 64. Wow. Carmelo will have a chip on his shoulder if he didn't already have one, Isaac. All right. Indians and Tigers. After defeating the Detroit Tigers 2-0 last night. The Cleveland Indians won the 20th straight contest yesterday. And in doing so, tied the 2002 Oakland A's for the longest American League win streak in the modern era.
A swing and a bouncer to third. Urshela gloves, throws, ball game! A record-tying night in Cleveland!
How about that? The Tribe rally behind Corey Kluber's complete game shutout. He struck out 8, improved to 16-4 this year. Matt Boyd got the loss and fell to 5-10 on the season. Cleveland can break the record tonight. Well, I should say right now, this afternoon, if they complete the sweep against the Tigers. Mike Clevinger, 9-5, 3.30 ERA, will be looking to make history as he'll make the start against Buck Farmer. Right now, the Tigers are currently trailing the Indians, as I mentioned, 3-1 in the bottom of the second. Matt Prater was named the NFC's Special Teams Player of the Week today for the third time in 9 games. He also won the award last year after a Week 9 win against Minnesota, where he forced overtime with a 58-yard field goal as time expired. And then again, after Week 12 against the Vikings, where he hit a 40-yard winner as time expired, he didn't have to kick a game winner in Sunday's 35-23 victory over the Arizona Cardinals, but he did make all 3 attempts, including a 58-yarder as the first half expired. That was pretty impressive. The longest field goal by any kicker in Week 1. Speaking of the Detroit Lions, 2 days after Casey Redfern suffered a season-ending knee injury against the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, the Lions announced Tuesday that they have signed Jeff Locke as an injury replacement to take over as the team's punter. Now, Locke spent the last 4 seasons with the Minnesota Vikings and was taken 10 picks ahead of also injured Lions punter Sam Martin in the 2013 NFL draft, number 155 overall. Redfern tore his ACL and MCL. He also suffered a torn meniscus when he scrambled after dropping a snap in the end zone of the Lions' win over the Cardinals. He tried to run out of bounds and just got absolutely trucked. An ESPN sportscaster, host of SportsCenter, and Michigan State University alum, Jemele Hill, called President Donald Trump a bigot and a white supremacist on Twitter on Monday night, and the backlash compelled ESPN to release a statement of apology. Quote, "The comments on Twitter from Jemele Hill regarding the president do not represent the position of ESPN. We have addressed this with Jemele, and she recognizes her actions were inappropriate," end quote. According to Deadspin, the ESPN spokesman wouldn't say if Hill, an MSU grad, is facing any disciplinary action beyond a talking to. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start the show.
But I think it's more a mindset than anything, just coming to the field every day and trying to win that game. We haven't gotten caught up in a winning streak or been worrying about that or anything. It honestly is just every day is a new day starting over. I think that we probably, every one of us would say that we didn't get off to a great start to the year as a rotation, but, luckily the bullpen picked us up quite a few times early on and, it allowed us to kind of get in a groove. And, now that we've kind of found our rhythm a little bit, we're kind of just trying to keep it going and ride it out and hopefully carry that momentum for a while. I think that it's always good to win regardless whether it's a blowout or a win. But like you said, I think that, these kind of games are important to find ways to scratch them out.
is how we start this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. That was Corey Kluber. After the Cleveland Indians topped the Detroit Tigers last night to make it 20 straight. How about that? 20 straight wins for the Cleveland Indians, tied with the 2002 Oakland Athletics for the longest win streak in AL history. Amazing, right? Absolutely amazing. And, you know, with the Tribe having reeled off 20 straight wins heading in today's matinee against the Tigers, get this. The Westgate Superbook out in Las Vegas has actually named the Indians as the new favorite to take home the crown, the 2017 World Series. It's quite amazing when evaluating this Cleveland Indians team from top to bottom. Very impressive. Again, the favorite, according to Vegas, to take the entire enchilada. The Indians sit right now at 89-56. And I had stated earlier this MLB year that I love the LA Dodgers. Well, the Dodgers have been playing horrid baseball. They did get out of the doghouse momentarily last night with a win. Finally, right? And the Dodgers are still holding down the top spot in the NL West over the D-backs. They have actually now clinched a spot in the playoffs. We knew that was coming, right? 93-52. 64-1 win percentile. But finally, the Dodgers, I mean, because we've been waiting, man. I mean, they were on a horrific losing streak. Complete contrast to what the Indians are doing. But you know what? I have a gripe. I just want to get something off my chest. Before we talk college football here, you know, the Cleveland Indians, such a remarkable season. Such a remarkable season for the Cleveland Indians. But you know what? As I watched the highlights last night of that Indians win, and I looked in the stands, there were so many empty seats. And it just got under my skin because, you know, this is an Indians team that's great. Again, the favorite to win the entire thing this year. Yet, there were only 24,600 fans last night to watch history. Will the real Cleveland Indians fans please stand up? Because I don't see any of them right now. 24-6 last night to watch 20 straight? That's insane, folks. The Indians actually average 24-7, which is 24th in Major League Baseball. 24 out of 30 teams for an Indian squad that is this good. That's sad. I don't know. I feel like, Isaac, if it isn't the Ohio State University, Ohio fans don't care. You know what I mean? And I will say, LeBron James coming back with the Cavs.
The return,
right? I mean, everybody came back for that. The attendance was pretty high at Quicken Loans Arena for that because it's LeBron James, right? It's the best basketball player on planet Earth coming back to deliver a championship, something he should have did before he left, but I won't go on that soapbox. I've done that multiple times. Now my legs are getting kind of tired from doing that. But, you know, so the attendance was pretty stout, right, for that, and it has been. But other than that, I mean, looking at the entire state, I mean, the Bengals, they struggle to sell out games. Mm-hmm. The Cleveland Browns, the lowly Cleveland Browns, they struggle to sell out games. And I get it to a degree because the Bengals and the Browns, I mean, they aren't necessarily Super Bowl contenders. And heck, I mean, look at week one for, you know, Andy Dalton and the Bengals. That was pretty bad, right? I like DeShone Kizer, though, out in Cleveland. I think he's going to be he's a great addition to the squad. But, you know, they struggle to sell out games there. But you have a team that is winning 20 straight games. I'm curious. I mean, you have the TV behind the glass there, Isaac. I mean, I just flip to the game later on this hour and let me know what the attendance looks like there, because I'm curious. I mean, 21 straight. It is a Wednesday afternoon. So, but still, when I looked in the stands and I saw only 24,600 fans. I mean, that's like barely over 50%. I kind of shook my head and said, what? Are you kidding me? And let's look at the attendance stats dating back to 2010, at least. 2016, worse. 28th in the league, 19,000, an average of 19,600 fans. 2015, 29th in the league. So second to last at 17,800. Dial it back a little bit more, 2014, a year before that. 29th, 18,400. 2013, 19,600. 2012, 19,700. So only 100 fans more. 2011, 24th, 22,700. And then 2010, dead last at 17,400. Now, I get it. If you look at this stretch dating back 7 years ago, there have been some bad teams out of that bunch. However, you get a year like 2017, and you would think that people would show up. I mean, right now, if you want to go check out the Cleveland Indians, the red hot Cleveland Indians, I mean, you can get tickets for like under $20. Insane. Insane. Going back to those Vegas odds, as recently as mid-August, Cleveland's World Series odds were as low as 7-1, which at the time were the fifth best in baseball and third overall in the American League. But again, having not suffered a loss since August 23rd, the Indians' championship odds have soared, and they've now passed the Dodgers. The Dodgers sit at 7-2 odds as favorites to win the World Series. Very impressive stuff, but if you are a Cleveland Indians fan, which I'm still looking for you guys because there's not many, I mean, that's gotta feel bad when you look at the success this squad is having and then you look up in the stands and it's like, what in the world? Nonetheless, the year moves on, and I'm looking forward to October baseball. That's when I really hone in. I mean, you know, a baseball season, I mean, it's a marathon, not a sprint. A lot of games being played. And here in Michigan, your team, the Detroit Tigers, have not had a great season. So we haven't been able to talk many positive things about the Major League, about Major League Baseball as it pertains to the Tigers. But this is a very cool moment, seeing as though, you know, even though they are playing the Tigers and they have a chance to push the envelope of history here. Very cool, though, that they're doing it against the Tigers. From the outside looking in, not speaking from a Detroit Tigers fan in perspective, because I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people that just heard me say that, saying, Al, come on, dude. Really? 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. I want to talk college football briefly here before we hit our first break, because, you know, there's so many storylines that can be had just through 2 weeks of college football action, right? So many, many as it pertains to the Big Ten Conference. Now, we have been focusing a lot, of course, here locally when it comes to Michigan State sitting at 2-0 in the year. Can we get a round of applause for Michigan State, Isaac Gwinnett? 2-0 in the year. Yes, that is how you want to start the season. We brought to you coverage yesterday's morning press conference from head coach Mark D'Antonio, as Coach D hit on numerous areas. And, you know, I never like having a bye week. I mean, who does, right? Having a bye week this early, because you ideally want to have it in the middle of the season, because injuries are inevitable in the game of football. So when you have that bye week in the middle of the season, in the middle of conference play, it gives you an extra week to rest up, to retool, refocus. Just 2 games in, I mean, you're ready to get back at it. The wheels are still churning. So to have a week 2 bye, week 3 bye is what I should say, not ideal, but hey, what are you going to do, right? And Coach D elaborated on how his team is going to just stay focused, rest up. They're only going to practice 3 days out of this week. A few other areas to note. D'Antonio said that he does anticipate freshman defensive back Dominique Long will play against Notre Dame. That will make it 11 true freshmen playing, a very young team. Something I didn't get a chance to bring up was Coach D'Antonio discussing Daryl Stewart, who was actually from the Houston area. Thoughts and prayers again to everyone out there down south that is going through the rebuild process of the aftermath of Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. Irma down in Florida, Harvey really taking a toll on Houston. But he was asked about the character of Daryl Stewart. And Daryl Stewart has a really cool nickname for Brian Lewerke as well. He calls Brian Lewerke White Lightning. I like that nickname. I really did. Do you dig that nickname, Isaac, or do you have something better? White Lightning.
No, Brian Lewerke, the nickname. White Lightning. Yeah, like I like the nickname. I think it sounds like a nickname for a horse.
I was just about to say
races.
That. Yeah, it does sound like a horse. White Lightning takes the Triple Crown, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, but he's been a horse so far. So
he has been a horse. Yeah, very fast. Brian Lewerke, again, that 61-yard touchdown run that he had on Saturday, very impressive. I think we're still reminiscing on that moment, right? But Daryl Stewart, Daryl Stewart, just a kid with a lot of character. You know, he seems to be emerging as one of the personalities of this squad, really, Isaac. And, Mark D'Antonio elaborated on Daryl Stewart's character and how big of a playmaker he's been through just 2 weeks of action. But, and also when you evaluate Michigan State's football roster from top to bottom, there's not much separation when it comes to the ones and twos. D'Antonio said that there isn't much separation, and there's constant battles going on for that starting spot day in and day out throughout training camp. U of M, we had Alan Gant on the show yesterday, former U of M linebacker. And, he joined us on the show to talk about, what he's seen from Michigan through just 2 weeks of college football action. Again, the Wolverines will welcome Air Force to the Big House this weekend. Defense has been really great. I think the defense, safe to say, has surpassed many people's expectations. I did not expect Michigan's young defensive unit to fly around like they have. Love the linebacker core. Love the defensive line. They put great pressure on the opposition through 2 weeks of action. However, offensively, other than the run game, I really like the run game. I have a few question marks. Ty Isaac, as we noted, he's had back-to-back 100-plus yard rushing performances. But Wilton Spate, it's like a roller coaster of him right now, up and down and up and down. Quick question here. If you... Right now, through just 2 weeks of action, Isaac, who would you rather have, Wilton Spate or Brian Lewerke?
Brian Lewerke. There's not a question about it for me. I mean, Spate has looked rocky, and I thought that he'd have a year which kind of proved a lot of doubters wrong. He still could, but I thought coming into his second season, he'd fit in a lot better. He's been anything but that his first 2 weeks.
Well,
he's been so rocky.
That second half against Florida, after throwing, back-to-back pick sixes, he shook it off, and the nerves calmed down, and I thought he did a great job of spreading the football around. We saw the strength of his arm on a few passing attempts in that second half against Florida. I will say you would like – again, it's. I think
would
it's just
would you rather Spate then?
No, I'm going with Brian Lewerke.
Okay.
I'm playing devil's advocate right now.
Devil's advocate, fair.
I will say that Spate, I've seen some things that are like, oh, okay. But it just hasn't been consistent through just 2 weeks of action, especially, again, you look at Cincinnati, right? I mean, it's Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan was expected to blow them out, and at one point that was a 17-14 game. Brian Lewerke, you look at Brian, he's more versatile because he does give you, that dual threat of burning you with his feet if he sees nothing downfield. But we've seen him make some really nice passes. I keep going back to that wheel route that L.J. Scott had, where he put great touch on the ball. He's confident under pressure when the pocket collides.
Mm-hmm.
He can throw on the run. He'll stand in the pocket tall and deliver a strike downfield. Brian Lewerke has shown more consistency than Wilton Spate. However, it's still early. It's still early. I want to see how Wilton Spate matures as the weeks go along.
Well, and what I'd say about Lewerke is he's a quarterback who can set the table for the offense. He puts everything into play because he allows you to run a variety of different sets offensively because of his scrambling capabilities and his running capabilities. Plus, he's really got the respect of this offense already. He knows how to audible at the line, how to change up different plays. And again, when the play breaks down, he makes something happen. And that can mean through the air, too, checking down to his second option. Mm-hmm. Whereas, by contrast, I'm not saying that this makes him a much worse quarterback, but it's a different style of quarterback. Spate, he's a classic quarterback. He's a 70s and 80s guy where he hangs in the pocket. He's not as mobile. Mm-hmm. And he's somebody who I think they need to establish the run game through Ty Isaac and others to give him the windows to pass. That's why a lot of times I do feel like he comes along in the second half, but maybe not until that point because the Michigan running game needs to get going before the defense really respects the pass.
Yeah, and you know, I really like Ty Isaac, and I think, you know, Alan Gant, when we had him on yesterday, he kind of elaborated on the Michigan run game with Isaac. Again, I really like Isaac right now. He's other Isaac, Isaac. But Ty is really showing some great things on the ground right now. But I do believe, hey, Chris Evans is going to show some things as the year goes along. But let's be real here. Brian Lewerke will be tested against Notre Dame, okay? That is going to be an accurate litmus test to really see where Brian Lewerke is right now as a sophomore at Michigan State University. Notre Dame fell to Georgia 20-19. The Irish are actually 1-9 in their 10 games decided by a single score. And in the Brian Kelly era, I should say. And I think this Michigan State and Notre Dame battle is going to be very close. And I think that bodes well for Michigan State. However, Notre Dame is not going to be Bowling Green. Notre Dame is not going to be a team that you look at and say, okay, Michigan State should pull out this dub quite easily. It's not going to be Western, even though I thought, you know, and isn't it crazy too? I mean, it's so hard to get a read just 2 weeks in with college football because this is a Western Michigan team that pushed USC to the brink. I don't know if you caught any of that USC and Stanford game, but USC looked very impressive against a very solid Stanford squad. And they almost got beat by Western Michigan University. And then Michigan State plays Western and just makes it look easy peasy, lemon squeezy. I just don't know, man. So, again, it's only 2 weeks in. And looking at the entire Big Ten picture, again, I mentioned earlier this week as well that the Big Ten race right now, I don't know if the Big Ten, I got to keep it real here, I don't know if the Big Ten is going to have a representative in a college football playoff. Because Ohio State lost to Oklahoma this past weekend. That is going to hurt them. It's a quality loss, if there's any such thing as a quality loss. Oklahoma.
There is.
Yeah, I like Oklahoma, and I think the committee, at the end of the day, if Ohio, let's say Ohio State wins out for the year, I think the committee, when they're sitting down, they'll look at that loss if Oklahoma performs like we expect them to perform moving forward. They'll look at that loss and say, all right, maybe they deserve to be in, but I don't know. Michigan, again, rocky, up and down. That Ohio State and Michigan game is going to be very telling. But, I don't see a dominant team in the Big Ten Conference right now. I don't know if that's going to help the Big Ten's argument when making a case that at least one team deserves to be in the four-team college football playoff. But, you know, some interesting storylines. You know, you look at Duke and Northwestern. That was pretty surprising, you know. I didn't expect that either.
Shocking.
That was very, very shocking. And, you know, Northwestern, you know, sputtered to a 1-3 start a year ago. You know, after that, Coach Pat Fitzgerald, he fired on his Wildcats saying, I should say, quote, they better walk out of the locker room. They better hug whoever they love. They better go to bed, wake up, and get ready to have their rear ends coached off. Pat was not happy with the start to last year. And, you know,
when you look at what has happened dating back to last year, man. I mean, first off, what do you think about that comment? I absolutely love that.
I love the comment itself. I mean, that's a way to get to your team. If there is a way to motivate your team.
Though. Oh, yeah. They haven't responded.
No, not at all.
They got pummeled by Duke on Saturday. Another early season disaster. So I'm curious what Pat had to say about that. But also, so that was very shocking. And then you talk about James Franklin and Penn State. James Franklin, you know, he beat Pittsburgh. We all know what happened last year. Pat Narduzzi, former Michigan State defensive coordinator, they celebrated like it was the Super Bowl, right?
They did.
When they beat Penn State, and Penn State went on to win the Big Ten, and they had a great year, went on to have a great year. So after the Nittany Lions beat Pittsburgh 33-14 on Saturday, Penn State head football coach James Franklin had an interesting quote. Can we just roll that in right now, Isaac?
Most important is we're 1-0 this week, and we were able to get a win. You know, that's what this was for us, guys. I know last year for their win, it was like the Super Bowl, but for us, this was just like beating Akron.
James, I was going to ask something completely different, but that kind of stunned me. I don't know if people in Pittsburgh will take that.
You guys.
Maybe the way you meant it.
Yeah, you guys. I've been saying for 2 years, so you can interpret it however you want. I've been saying for 2 years that each win is like the Super Bowl for us. So you can interpret it however you want. Last week, we beat Akron, and it was a great win.
I see.
This win, we beat Pittsburgh, and it was a great win. This win is no more significant for us than last week.
Okay.
So you can interpret it however you want. I've been saying this for 3 years. Each win stands alone.
Huh. James Franklin, man. Oh, boy. That stirred the pot for sure. So after the Penn State game, again, James Franklin, he delivered what has universally been seen as a cheap shot. For us, this year, it was like beating Akron. And it's kind of ironic because, you know, Franklin recently stated that every game for Penn State was like the Super Bowl. So it's kind of confusing.
Isn't it?
So a lot of people, you know, are calling it arrogant and saying that, hey, you're taking a shot at Pitt. So I was, you know, Pat Narduzzi, a fiery guy. I was curious to see what Pat Narduzzi had to say. And Pat Narduzzi, he took the high road, and he actually took a page out of Michelle Obama's book and said that they go low, we go high, and didn't elaborate it on, you know, more so than that. So it's just some interesting storylines coming from Big Ten football. But I think the Penn State is showing again this year that they are going to be a force to be reckoned with moving forward.
Well, and at the end of the day, you ask if a Big Ten team makes the college football playoff. If a Big Ten team does, I believe it to be Penn State. I think they have been by far the best Big Ten team in play so far. And they've got all their offensive weapons back from last year who are not firing on all cylinders. Trace McSorley did not have the game of his life against Pitt. Mm-hmm. They won that 33-14. It was still a dominating win. As far as quote, yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about a head coach making those comments. I thought it was a little bit off the rocker. And then he tried to go back on it in a way because
it
he said
like
every win for us is like the Super Bowl. So beating Akron was like the Super Bowl. You beat Akron 52-0. That's not like the Super Bowl. Then Pitt is not like the Super Bowl either.
I think he was trying to say they all count one when he backtracked. Right? They all count one. A win is a win.
Yeah.
It feels the same way.
But, you know,
Akron.
If you're mad that Pitt treated their victory against you like the Super Bowl, then every win for you should not be treated like the Super Bowl, correct?
I guess so. Yeah. I'm so confused now.
We'll see. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk a bit about the Detroit Lions as they have made an acquisition in light of Casey Redfern getting injured. Now former Detroit Lions punter Casey Redfern, who is now out for the year, getting injured during week one against the Arizona Cardinals. We'll also talk some UFC. John Jones, yeah, making negative headlines once again. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just finished up some college football chatter concerning the entire Big Ten outlook. Also, of course, Michigan State and U of M through just 2 weeks of college football action. Again, I just don't believe that, looking at how the Big Ten is right now, I just don't see that dominant team that you point to and say, okay, that is the squad that will make it to the college football playoff. I think that the Big Ten is just going to kind of beat up on each other. And I don't know if that bodes well when the committee sits down at the end of the year and says, all right, who deserves to be a part of that field? What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Also go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. Real briefly, before we keep this train of pushing, let's go to line one right now. We have one of our dear friends and listeners, Jason Fuller. Jason, what's up, dude?
Not much. Al, what's going on, brother?
Always good chatting with you. How did the Folds of Honor go?
Well, the Folds of Honor Patriot Shootout was a great success. Once again, this year, we ended up raising just over $35,000.
Oh, my goodness. So that's a lot of moolah. That is fantastic.
That's $5,000 educational scholarships that get to get out there to the children and spouses of those we've lost or those who have been severely wounded. And ended up winning a skin on Saturday with a albatross. So that was pretty cool. And
wow.
Then defended for the fifth time the Glow Golf Tournament and once again took the honor away of keeping that for the fifth time in a row now.
Oh, my goodness. See, if I would have played with you, Jason, I just would have just dragged you down, dude. I don't know. I don't know if I could have kept up with you, man. Wow, that's very impressive stuff. But the important thing here, you said $35,000?
Just over $35,000 we raised, yep.
Impressive stuff, my man. Well,
and then you saw the whole event, and I got to play in the marathon there on Friday morning.
Right.
So that was at 3 hours. We were spread out across the Three Tops course. We ended up with everybody that was spread out through the course. We played the course 13 times in a three-hour period.
Now, that sounds like heaven. That's what that sounds like, Jason.
That was amazing.
There's no such thing as golf overload, right?
No, there's not. No, but I tell you what, Monday after the fact, Monday and Tuesday there, I was a little sore. It was a little bit of golf.
I'm sure. I am sure. Well, I know you're glad that college football is back, my man. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on what you've seen from Michigan State so far?
Well, what I've seen so far, I like what I see. It was actually a pretty cool Sunday. I was sitting at my church, and just happened to turn behind me, and none other than White Lightning was sitting right behind me. So I got to talk to Brian a little bit, and I actually asked him, I was like, so what was in your mind when you just happened to see that hole and you went those 61 yards down straight down the gut? He goes, all I saw was a light at the end of the tunnel. There was nobody around me. I was like, well, you did it.
That's very cool. So you saw Brian Lewerke in church on Sunday. That is very cool stuff.
Yeah, he was there. He actually had his grandparents there with him, so it was pretty cool.
Oh, boy, that's great. Well, I tell you what, Jason, thank you so much for calling,
and
my man.
One other thing I want to touch on is Spartan basketball had something happen to them overnight, actually.
They did.
Well, over the last couple days, I should say.
Right.
Grad assistant Austin Thornton is now stepped away from coaching and going back to playing over in Europe.
Get out of here. I didn't see that story. Have you seen that story, Isaac?
I did not either, no.
Yes,
wow.
Austin has stepped away from the grad assistant position and played in a couple leagues and stuff over the summer, and he is over in Europe right now. His agent is securing him a contract with one of two clubs that he's tried out for, and Austin will be playing professional basketball again now, because when he first came out of college, it was really hard for him to try and go play professional basketball because he was worried about his five-year-old son. He didn't want to leave him for that long.
Right, his son, well, Carson, right.
His son, Carson, and now Carson's a little bit older. Carson understands it. So he's taking it on and seeing what he can do.
And it's been, what, like 5 years,
it's
I believe.
It's been 5 years since
2012?
Austin graduated, yeah.
Because that's the year I graduated. I graduated the same year as Austin. So,
yeah,
that's,
Austin actually, right when he graduated, he got a job in the health insurance field stuff up in Grand Rapids area. And then was playing in summer leagues and stuff up there. And asked if he could come back to finish some schooling, and Coach hired him on as a grad assistant, and that's where he's been the last few years, and now he's decided to pursue the professional dream again. So,
very cool stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing that bit of news with us, Jason. My man, Jason Fuller,
right.
Thanks so much.
We will have to get out and hit the links here soon, so stay cool and be easy, brother.
You got it always, my man, and yeah, you never know with Michigan. We got to get it in right now because it could be a blizzard tomorrow, as you know, in Michigan, Isaac. You have no idea how Michigan weather. Well, and you do
I do now.
You've been here 4 years from New Orleans now, right? You definitely have experienced that. All right, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Yeah, I thought that Jason was going with the Aaron Henry story. That's where I thought
too.
He was going with that. You know, Aaron Henry from Indy. It's such a cool story how he was recruited, too. I didn't know that Gary Harris had such a big hand in Gary and Mateen Cleaves and Denzel Valentine. I mean, a whole crew was in town this past weekend for Alumni Day, along with head coach, of course, Tom Izzo. But, you know, I had no idea. You know, Gary actually sat with Aaron Henry's family during the MSU football game, and, you know, he had a great visit. He goes back to Indy. He's in the weight room, and his head basketball coach walks in the weight room and says, "Yo, how was your visit?" And Aaron's like, "Oh, man, I had a great time. It was off the chain, man." And he's like, "Oh, well, what are you waiting on? You going to make a decision?" And he's like, "Yeah, you're right. I had a great time. Why not? I'll do it right now." And he hops on Twitter, because that's how we, in 2017, us millennials make official announcements, right?
Yep.
He goes on there and tweets it out, and bam, coming to Michigan State. How cool is that? And I think Michigan State now, with that get, as we announced on Current Sports yesterday, they are now in, like, the top three for the class of 2018. So, very big get. I haven't seen Aaron play, but from what I've read, the kid got game.
I haven't seen the highlights either, but to my understanding, he's a very athletic ball player, for one, and of course, looking to the future, not that we can look 2 years in advance, because the next year should be exciting enough for Spartan basketball, but they'll probably have to replace Miles Bridges, let's be honest. And bringing in guys like this, like Gabe Brown, and who not, I mean, that will all go a far way in terms of making sure that these guys keep that root and that core of Spartan basketball intact.
Yeah, because this is the window is wide open right now. Okay, I don't know how many times I can say this. The window of opportunity for Michigan State men's basketball, if Izzo, what he does, he wants to get that second national championship for the first time since 2000, right? The window is wide open. Bridges has come back. You've got the maturity of that stout freshman class from last year along with Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Langford, who, gosh, I mean, he looked, again, it's Moneyball. Who plays defense in Moneyball? So take it with a big bag of salt. It's Moneyball. Okay, but you see that he's worked on some
and
things.
And he improved at the end of last season,
He
too.
Did improve at the end of last season. But Cassius Winston, you know, that court vision is just going to keep on improving. I think he'll eventually move into that starting role. Tom will come off the bench. Tom has no problem with that. He's the leader of this team. The window of opportunity is open right now. For this team to win another national championship. And, of course, as the season draws near, we will talk plenty of Spartan basketball. But in the meantime, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will invite – speaking of Spartan basketball, we have a treat for our listeners out there, because a certain player will be joining the Current Sports reporting team for this upcoming semester. And we will also have – so we'll introduce that individual, as well as have Casey Harrison on the show, who we already introduced on Monday. We'll talk some UFC in light of the unfortunate news for John Bones Jones. We'll be right back to put a bow on this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have just under 10 minutes left in the show. If you want to get a quick call in, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Right now, I want to introduce, as we've been doing throughout this week, and we'll continue to do so up until Friday, introduce the new squad of production assistants and reporters who will be joining us in the coming months, providing you with local content that you can't get anywhere else. And if you do, ours will be better. All right. At WKAR.org, as well as Facebook.com/CurrentSports. We've got a great team. Earlier this week, we introduced you to Casey Harrison. Casey is back in studio. He'll be with us every Monday and Wednesday, I assume, right?
Yeah.
Throughout the semester.
Yeah, good to be back.
Casey, we'll talk UFC briefly with Casey in just a moment, but we also have another reporter that many Spartan basketball fans already know and love. She's a transfer from Notre Dame. I'll just let her introduce herself. Taya Reimer, welcome to the team.
Hi, thank you. I'm really happy to be a part of it.
For those that don't know you, just kind of talk about where you're from. How you ended up here at Michigan State and what you plan on covering for us throughout the next few months.
Okay, so like I said, I'm Taya Reimer. I'm a senior. I am a sports journalism major on the women's basketball team, and I will be covering cross country as my beat. So I'm really excited to work on that and get some experience and talk some sports.
I'm curious, Taya, how did you choose cross country? Why cross country?
Well, it's just something that isn't really covered that much. And for me, I kind of like looking at the personal side of athletics. So I'm hoping to do some really cool stories on the men and women of the cross country team and kind of look deeper into the sport and give it some good coverage.
Very cool stuff. And, you know, I don't think I asked you this, Casey, earlier on in the week, but I want to pose a question to both of you guys. And I'm big on dreaming big, you know, in this industry, you know. If you really want it, you'll get it, right? And hard work will definitely get your foot in the door at least. And I want to ask you too, what do you want to do in this industry? I mean, what's like the 10-year goal? What piqued your interest when it comes to sports journalism? I'll start with Casey this time.
Man, that's a loaded question,
isn't it?
So when I started here at Michigan State, I wanted to be the next Dan Dickerson. I wanted to be a broadcaster. Quickly, I learned that I don't really have the commentator's voice for that.
Really? I don't. You could mold that voice a little bit. Isaac, I don't know.
No problem with that. Don't
get down on yourself, Casey. Come on, man. But it
needs a little bit of coaching. But I wrote at the State News basically as soon as I got to campus, mm-hmm. And I fell in love kind of with beat writing. I'm really comfortable with it. I like it a lot. It's something that I've been told that I'm pretty good at. I don't really consider myself to have that big of an ego. So I kind of just went with it, kind of built up the ranks. I covered men's basketball last year, mm-hmm. and now I'm on to bigger and better things. But yeah, I mean, being a beat writer, being kind of a radio personality, a mix between the two, kind of like your Tony Kornheiser, be a PTI type of guy.
Ah, nice. Okay, I dig that. And you see a lot of guys who are in print make that transition to broadcast.
I think it's kind of a natural thing. It's a really good foundation to kind of start your way off, and then you can branch out from there.
Okay. What about you, Taya?
Well, I always knew I wanted to do something with sports, and I like to talk, so I figured...
There you go, they go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, sports broadcasting would probably be the best thing for me. So yeah, I mean, I am really big into, like, social issues and pop culture and stuff like that, so, I don't know, trying to figure out some sort of show or podcast, something where I can combine that with sports, that would be like my ultimate dream. But mm-hmm. Definitely just trying to get as much experience as I can, get my foot in the door, and do as many different things as I can to see kind of what fits and what I like.
Well, this is certainly a start, and I'm looking forward to reading and listening to your guys' content throughout the next few months. Taya Reimer, Casey Harrison. Casey, before we close out the show, seeing as though you will be covering, for those that don't know and didn't get a chance to tune in on Monday, you'll be covering the boxing and local MMA scene here. So you'll be working a lot with Ron DeLeon, who is a dear friend of the show. I got a chance to actually ring announce for Ron's latest UFC event. So fun. But, you know, some news caught my eye this morning that I kind of just shook my head at, because I've been rooting for this guy since his comeback from the whole cocaine ordeal, and to see him get back in the ring, he beat Daniel Cormier in his latest fight. However, it looks as though he was a little dirty. The results have come back from a few drug tests, and the B sample of John Jones's failed drug test from July 28th in Anaheim, California, has confirmed the presence of a banned substance. Just your reaction from that story, just reading that.
It was kind of shocking, because after the first doping incident, I mean, the patience is kind of running out with this guy. This is his second time now, and I mean, it's two samples, so it's probably a legitimate conclusion right now. Mm-hmm. But Dana White needs to kind of put his foot down. I mean, it's his second doping allegation, and since he's been back, he's had off the field issues with the cocaine, and he had that hit and run charge against him, and I think he hit like a pregnant woman, and he kind of just ran off.
Oh my gosh! I didn't read that one. Oh my goodness.
Me neither. Wow.
Yeah, it was a hit and run, and I think the woman was pregnant. She was fine. Nothing really became of it. But I mean, that kind of just speaks to his character and that he's not willing to mature at all. I mean, he's a very talented fighter. I mean, you could see that he looked really good against Cormier, but.
And speaking of that, I mean, let's say John was clean.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of people make the statement that John Jones, when you evaluate his accomplishments and his wins, let's say the dude has been clean throughout his career. Is he the greatest UFC fighter to ever go in the octagon? Would you say that? A lot of people call him the GOAT.
That's a loaded question right there because, I mean, he has so many titles. He's a really good fighter. I mean, he's been a relevant name throughout the last few years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, man. That's a pretty good question. I mean, you go back and you look at your Brock Lesnar's and your Chuck Liddell's.
Right.
Those types of guys kind of being the forefront of pushing the UFC out into what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair to say that he's definitely a pioneer, and like because I still okay. consider the UFC it's just got out of its infancy stage, really.
Oh, for sure. And you know what? On tomorrow's Current Sports, we're going to try to get Ryan DeLeon on the show. I want to hear his reaction from this story, but there are a lot of layers, and I'll have an interesting take on that on tomorrow's Current Sports as well. But in the meantime, we will see you same time, same place tomorrow. As always, I'm Al Martin. Take care and be easy, people.